know, there's three signs, you're getting old, one's off the moon rate, and I forget the other two.
It's a pleasure to be here today. Take the word of God with me, and please turn to Psalm 66. Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 66, 18. I was wrestling with the Lord, what message to bring. I could bring an evangelistic message, but I know your pastor preaches the gospel. So I asked the Lord to give me a message that might help this church. Help this church to grow spiritually.
Amen.
And help this church. Psalm 16, and look at verse... Wait a minute. Psalm 66, excuse me. Psalm 66, verse 8. Psalm 66, verse 8. Verse 18, Psalm 66, 18. I'm a little nervous this morning. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Holy Spirit be my helper this morning. I want to speak to you on the subject of hindrances to prayer. Hindrances to answered prayer. One of the blessings that we have as born-again Christians is that our God hears our prayers and answers our prayers. And it's a thrill to be able, Brother John, to go to him in prayer and have him answer us. And the thrill has been experienced by many of God's people down through the years. I think of a man by the name of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a king of the southern kingdom of Judah, and he reigned from 728 to 687 B.C. And while he was king one day, there was another king by the name of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And he was on the war path, and he was conquering one nation after another. And he sent a letter, Brother Abby, to Hezekiah. And in that letter, he boasted about the great things that he had done and how great he was. And he said, Hezekiah, the gods of these other nations have not been able to deliver them, and neither will your God be able to deliver you. And the most sensible thing you can do is to lift up the white flag of surrender. Give in. But Hezekiah had other ideas. He took that letter and he spread it out before the Lord. And he said, Lord, you listen to these words of this boasting of this wicked king. If it be your will, deliver us from it. The Lord answered his prayer. For that night, the angel of the Lord came and out at 185,000 Assyrian soldiers lay dead on the ground the next morning. There was Sennacherib, that evil, wicked king, utterly defeated, going back to his capital city of Nineveh like a whipped dog with his tail between his legs. Hezekiah experienced the thrill of answered prayer. I think of a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet of the Lord. And I can see one day Elijah as he strolls into the throne room of King Ahab, that wicked king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And he lifted his eyes towards heaven and said, Lord, I'd like you for to shut up the heavens so that it will not rain for the space of 3.5 years. The Lord answered his prayer. He shut up the heavens, and there was not one drop of rain, neither dew on the ground for a space of 3.5 years. And at the end he prayed, Lord, we sure could use a little rain. And the rains came and just fell all over the place. And once more, there was dew on the ground. Hezekiah experienced the thrill of answered prayer. I think of a man by the name of Dwight Lyman Moody. One day, He stood on the vacant lot in the city of Chicago. He looked at it and he looked up to heaven and said, Lord, I would sure appreciate if you give me this piece of ground for a Bible school. The Lord answered his prayer, and Moody Bible Institute, which until recently, for years, stood for the King James Bible and the old time religion. But the sad thing about it is there are many Christians here that I know of, and many of God's people have never experienced the thrill of answered prayer. There are many of God's people who can't point to a single thing and say, look, I asked the Lord to give me this thing, and he gave it to me, and here's the evidence for all to see for the glory of God. Now, why is that so? What is it that hinders our prayers from being answered? Well, the Word of God gives several answers, and we'll look at some of them today. Here in Psalm 66:18 is the first hindrance to answered prayer. And you can spell the sin, the hindrance, with just three letters. It is S-I-N, sin. Notice what we read in Psalm 66. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now the word regard, what does that mean in our language today? It means to see. Iniquity is wickedness. I'm not correcting the word of God, I'm just telling you what it means. Amen. If I see wickedness in my heart, and David here uses the past tense, if I had seen wickedness in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. That is, the Lord would not have answered his prayer. Now in this psalm, the psalmist was in deep trouble. In the midst of his prayer, he went to the Lord in prayer and said, Lord, if you get me out of this trouble, if you deliver me from it, there are certain things that I'm going to do. And he didn't promise the Lord that he would do those things to bargain with the Lord, but he promised he would do those things to show his appreciation, his gratitude to the Lord, if the Lord would only deliver him from his troubles. The Lord answered his prayer. He delivered him from his trouble. And unlike so many people today who make a promise to the Lord when they're in trouble, and when the Lord delivers them, they forget all about their promise, he kept every promise that he made. And then we come to verse 18. Here the psalmist is thinking back to the time when he was in trouble. The Lord had delivered him from that trouble, John. He's out of it now, but he's thinking back to the time when he was in the middle of that trouble. And he says, if at that time when I was in the midst of my trouble, I had seen wickedness in my heart and I had refused to repent, I had refused to abandon that wickedness, I had refused to give up that wickedness, the Lord would not have heard me. The Lord would not have answered my prayer. Now, just as this is true of the psalmist, it's true of you and me. If we go to the Lord in prayer and we see wickedness in our heart and we know that's there and we refuse to forsake that wickedness, the Lord says, I will never, never answer your prayer. Now let's make it practical. Suppose you're burdened for something and you want to go to the Lord in prayer and you have a grudge against somebody. And you know that grudge is there. And you know that it's contrary to the Word of God. And yet you have no intention of giving up that grudge. The Lord says, might as well not talk to me, for I'm not going to listen. Your prayer ain't going to get any higher than the ceiling. I will not answer. Or again, suppose you go to the Lord in prayer and you have a habit that's sinful. Uh-oh. He stopped preaching, gone to Midland. But you know that according to the Word of God, that habit is a violation of the commandments that he has given, And yet you want to go to the Lord to have fellowship. And the Lord says, don't bother talking to me until you take care of that habit, repent of it, and ask my forgiveness. And then I'll listen to you. Or again, suppose a person is involved in an evil association. He knows it's an unequal yoke, whether it be in marriage or business or whatever realm. But he has no intention of breaking that evil intention. The Lord says, don't bother talking to me in prayer, because the only prayer that I'm going to hear from you is that you're willing to repent of it and ask my forgiveness of it. Or again, suppose somebody has injured you and you are determined that you're going to pay that person back. As long as that determination is there, the Lord says, don't bother praying until you get rid of that determination to get revenge against that person. I will never answer your prayer. You see, sin is a hindrance to answer prayer. Now, in connection to this, go to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. And notice verses 1 and 2. Now, in Isaiah 59, as you're turning there, the people of Israel were facing a threat to their national security. They had gone to the Lord in prayer, and he had asked the Lord to deliver them, but the Lord hadn't answered their prayer. So you can just see the people of Israel, and they started to conjecture why the Lord hadn't answered their prayer. And one person says, maybe it's because the hand of the Lord is shortened. That is, the hand of the Lord has been cut off and he's rendered powerless. And the Lord can't do the things today that he used to do. Maybe he's not as strong as he used to be. Somebody else comes up and say, that's not the reason. Maybe the Lord is hard of hearing. The Lord can't hear so well anymore. And Isaiah got wind of this. And when Isaiah got wind of this, he severely rebuked the people of Israel for it. Listen to what he says in verse 1 of Isaiah 59. Behold! Now he uses that word to call attention to what he's about to say. He says, now don't you go to sleep on me. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. He uses the figure of a man's hand being cut off. If I cut off my hands, I render myself powerless. And what they were saying is, the Lord's hand is shortened. He says, the Lord's hand is not shortened. He hasn't been rendered powerless that he cannot save. The Lord could deliver you from this threat to your national security now as he ever could. And then he goes on to say, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. There's nothing wrong with the Lord's hearing. The Lord can hear now as well as he ever did. But he comes down to verse 2 and he says, but instead of being the Lord's fault that your prayers are hindered, it's not the Lord's fault, it's your fault. And notice how he spells it out. But your iniquities have separated. Your iniquities are the things which have separated. They have become middle walls of partition between you and your God, so that your prayers can't get through to God and his answers can't get through to you. What is it? Then he says, and the Lord have hid his face from you. What does it mean when the Lord hides his face? It means that he withdraws his favor from us. He will not manifest favor in giving us the answer to our prayers. So he says, your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And Isaiah here lays it right on the line. He says, it's not your fault that your prayers aren't answered. Instead of being the Lord's fault, it's your fault. Your sins have separated. They have become middle walls of partition between you and your God. So when you pray, your prayers can't get to God and his prayer answers can't get back to you. And that's the way it is with you and me. If there's unconfessed sin in our lives, they're like middle walls of partition. They separate us from God so that our prayers don't get through to God and we don't get answers for our prayers. And as long as we allow those walls or those sins to stand in our lives, we'll never know what it means to get answers to our prayers. Some years ago, a well-known evangelist was preaching in St. Paul, Minneapolis area. He gave the invitation and several came forward. After the service was over, a woman came up and a rough voice said, "Where is my daughter?" The evangelist looked at her and said, "Who's your daughter?" "Well, she said that young lady who came forward. Where is she?" The evangelist said, "Well, you have asked me twice. She's a nice young lady." Then he looked at her and said, "Are you saved? Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior?" All of a sudden, her voice changed, and she said, "I really don't know if I'm saved or not. Every time I go to God in prayer, he says, 'What about the $8,000? And the evangelist very naturally looked at her and said, "Well, what about the $8,000? She said, "Can I talk with you personally?" And they sat down. She said, 14 years ago, my husband died and left me with four kids to raise. I didn't know how I was going to do it. And one day when they were in school, I burned the house down. And the insurance company paid me $8,000. And I took that money and I came here and got me a livelihood, put my children in school, got a place to live, and everything has been well except for one thing. I can't pray. Every time I try to pray, the Lord says, 'What about the $8,000? And she said, "I just can't go on. What am I going to do?" And the evangelist said, "You know what you're going to do. You're going to confess that sin to the Lord, and then you're going to have to go to that insurance company and make it right." She said, "But if I do that, I might be thrown in jail." She didn't realize that there was a statute of limitations. "I might be thrown in jail." And the evangelist said, "Well, what's better, to be in jail and have things right with God, or go on the way you are now?" She said, "I'd rather be in jail and have things right with God." And then she said, "What am I going to do about my children when they find out that their mother is a thief?" The evangelist said, "What's better, to have things right with God and to let the Lord take care of your children, or go on the way you are now and risk your children finding out one day?" She said, "I'd rather make things right with the Lord. Let him take care of them." "But there is one problem." The evangelist said, "What's that?" "I don't know if I could find that insurance company." The evangelist said, "Now tell me something. If that insurance company owed you $8,000, do you think he could find it?" She got the point, and she did make it right with the Lord and with the insurance company. But just think of it, folks. Here's a lady who for 14 long years allowed the wall of sin to stand between her and God, so her prayers couldn't get through to God and his answers couldn't get through to her. And that's the way it is with you and me. If there's a sin in your life and my life, we'll never get answers to our praying. And what you need to do, what I need to do, if there's a sin in our lives, is to break down those walls by confessing them to the Lord, asking him for his forgiveness, and to make sure there's absolutely nothing between our souls and the Savior. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. so that his blessed face may be seen, nothing preventing the lease of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. That's the first hindrance. And we got to get rid of it if we're going to receive our prayers. Now, very quickly, time's getting away. Let's look at the second hindrance. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 2. James chapter 4, verse 2. Here James is writing to the Jewish Christians. Chapter 1, verse 1, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad out of the land of Palestine. And in verse 2 of chapter 4, he says, ye lust. Jewish Christians lusted. Ye lust, ye desire, and have not. There are certain things which you Jewish Christians want to have, and you don't possess them. You don't have any just claim to them, so what do? You're not satisfied because you don't have what you want, and so you decide that you'll take them by force, that you can't get them any other way. And he says, although you are Christians, you go so far, now listen, as to kill, are you listening? In an effort to obtain them. Ye lust and have not, ye kill. Why? In order to attain that which you don't have and which you want and to which you don't have no just claim, you'll go so far as to kill to get them. Then he says in the next part of the verse, and desire to have. There are certain things which you want, and you cannot obtain them. You cannot obtain them by any fair and honest means. But you want them so much that you will go so far as to take them by force, and you do that by fighting and warring in an effort to get them. Now look at what he says in the latter part of verse 2. Yet, although you will go so far as to commit murder, and to fight, and to war, in an effort to get what you want, you still don't have it. And what is the reason why they don't have it? Because ye ask not. They'll go to the Lord in various extremes to get what they want, Brother John. They try to take it by force. They still don't have it for the simple reason. Don't ask. They don't ask the Lord for it. You see, asking is God's appointed way of receiving things from him. And unless we ask God for that which we desire, we simply aren't going to get it. Sometimes we'll look at something and we'll say, that thing is so big. It's so huge. I can't ask God for that. Let me tell you something. If you don't go to the Lord and ask him for it, you won't get it. Or we'll look at something and say, that thing is so trivial, so small. I can't bother God with that. If you don't bother God with it, you're not going to get it. Because if you don't ask, you're not going to receive. The only way that we're going to receive anything from the Lord is if we get rid of that pride in our lives and ask the Lord for it. And if we ask the Lord for it, and it's in harmony with his perfect will for us to have it, he'll give it to us. Many years ago, there was a missionary by the name of Dan Crawford. And he had a team, and he was going back to his mission station, and it was very imperative that they get there by a certain time. They came to a stream that was flooded, and they had no way of getting across that stream. So they began to pray and to ask the Lord. And as they prayed, they said, Lord, you know we got to get back. You know that tree hinders us. We're in your work, so will you take care of it? And while they were praying, the Lord, praying, that tree that had stood there on that riverbank for scores of years began to totter, and it fell. And Crawford heard the noise, and he went and saw what happened, and he stopped the prayer meeting. He said, listen, folks, we went to the Lord in prayer. We asked the Lord to provide us a way to get across the stream. And the Lord contacted his royal engineers up there in heaven and said, there's a work for you to do. And they came down and made the most beautiful pontoon bridge that you ever have seen across the stream. And they made it across and got to their destination in time. Now, I ask you, do you think the Lord would have done that if they had not asked? Not according to this verse. You don't ask, you don't receive. Prayerlessness is a hindrance to answer prayer. Now let's notice very quickly another one found in verse 3. I just see the people, John, reading this letter. And they're Christians. And they come to the last part of verse 2 and they get all excited. If we ask the Lord to give it that which we desire, the Lord will give it to us. But I see some Christians reading it and they begin to scratch their heads. Well, that's all right for some people. I tried it, but it didn't work with me. I asked the Lord for something and I never got it. And James knew that that was going to happen. And he was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And he anticipates that in verse 3. He says, you ask. That is, you go to the Lord. You meet the conditions of the Lord to give it to you of asking. Ye ask and receive not. You don't get what you ask for. Why? Because you ask amiss. You ask with an improper motive. Your motive is not right. And he spells out what their motive is. He says that ye may consume it upon your lust. Your lust. Your desires for pleasure. You go to the Lord in prayer and you ask the Lord for something. And your only motive in doing it is that you might gratify your own desires for pleasure. And that's the only reason you do it. And because this was their motive when they prayed, he said, your prayer will not be answered. If we go to the Lord in prayer and we have a selfish motive, the Lord will never answer our prayer. He won't give us what we ask for so that we can take it and squander it, waste it, gratify fleshly desires, gratify, use it for pleasure. He's not going to do it that way. One time there was a family that was having family devotions. And by the way, I hope all of you have family devotions. And they had two little girls. And one little girl prayed, Lord, don't let it rain so that my little friend can come over and we can play together. The other girl prayed, Lord, please make it rain so that the family will not go out on the outing so that I have my friend to come over and play with me. Now put yourself in that place. What are you going to do? How are you supposed to let it rain and not let it rain at the same time? You ever tried that? The father looked at those girls and said, the Lord is not going to answer your prayers because you were selfish and asking them. And the Lord didn't answer the prayers. The girls didn't care whether it rained or not. They wanted a friend to play with. The Lord worked it out so neither of the girls had their friend to play with, and their father had nothing to do with it. The Lord does not answer selfish prayers, and we need to answer. We need to learn that. Often we go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for something with a selfish motive. We are not interested in whether or not the Lord will be glorified by giving us what we ask for. We're just interested in whether or not we'll get it. We're not interested if our character will be improved. And as long as that is in our hearts, that's praying with a selfish motive, and the Lord will not answer our prayers. Many years ago, I used to go out every Saturday morning with Spencer Williamson. And we're putting up a new church there, and we needed $25,000 for the parking lot. And we prayed, then we went out soul winning. And we came to the house, and his wife, Bevelin, said, so-and-so had called and wants you to come over right away. Spencer said, I'm tired. I need to lay down. She said, no, he insisted that you come right away. So Spencer went to the person's house and walked in the door. The man gave him a check for $25,000 and gave him another check of $1,000 for him. The last hindrance we're going to look at is faithfulness. Notice James chapter 1 very quickly. James chapter 1, verse 7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraid. If not, it shall be given him. But, now here's the condition when you ask, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. When you ask for the Lord for something, there must not be a single doubt in your mind that the Lord will give it to you if it's his will. Then he explains why. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. A wave of the sea is unstable, and that's the man, way a man is who wonders. He's unstable. He's not fixed in his faith and his confidence that the Lord will give him for that which he asks. And thus he doesn't meet the conditions, which is to ask, believe without any shadow of doubt. If it's the Lord's will, he will give it to him because he asked of him. And I'm going to say this in closing. You show me a boy or a girl who will go to the God, Lord in prayer and ask specifically for what he desires, ask the Lord to give that to be his will, not for his own best good, not as he sees it, not but as the Lord sees it, and will ask in faith without a single doubt in his mind, if it be the Lord's will, he'll get it. And I'll show you a person who knows what it is to pray and get answers. I'll show you a person who can point to things and say, see, I asked the Lord for them, and the Lord gave them to the glory of God. If you're here today and you're lost, the Word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ask him to save you. Believe that he will save you, and he'll do it. Father, seal the words to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John.